That one thing.
What is it? Why do we need it? What are you even talking about? You're listening to Empath Evolved. Today we're going to be talking about that one thing. That one thing that every empath needs. If that sounds interesting to you and you like what you hear, please remember to follow so we can keep this and many conversations going. Good morning, empaths. Welcome to my mind. Today we're going to be talking about that one thing, which I've said three times now. So I'm pretty sure you know what I'm talking about. Or do you? What I'm talking about is the one thing that empaths need to be their best selves. What the heck could that possibly be? Could we be talking about food, shelter, water, church, spirituality, nature? We definitely need those things. So this is not to say that empaths only need this one thing and absolutely nothing else. No, we're humans. We need a lot of stuff. But the one thing we really, really need in the core of our spirit are relationships. Every single human being needs relationships. There's no doubt about it. We are tribal. We have gotten to this stage of evolution because we rely on each other. And that's amazing. So everyone needs that one thing. But relationships and the empath are like a hand in glove situation. We can sometimes go through situations in life where we feel depleted, overwhelmed. We brought the best of ourselves to toxic, disordered individuals, dysfunctional situations, and we were gaslit, abused, devalued, and treated like crap for our strengths. The world is not always kind to empaths. People were even sort of weird to Mr. Rogers, who's like, you know, the poster child of empaths, if ever there was one. And even they try to say that he was actually some creepy guy who did weird stuff. But in reality, he was just a genuine ass empath. And it's like nobody wants to believe we exist. But we do. And we're not going anywhere because humanity needs us. Honestly, humanity needs everyone. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. Nature only allows the life of things that are useful to survive. And once you have stopped being useful, you will go. That's just the way it is. But in terms of society in general, the empath is needed and sorely underrepresented in terms of leadership and positions of power. My podcast, my platform, is to encourage, inspire, and uplift empaths so that they start taking their natural talents and aptitudes into the world in a more significant way. Significant can mean if you're a stay-at-home parent, that you take up more space and presence and leadership within the family home, and that you understand that what you are bringing is important. You might also be a business owner, an art creator, or somebody who is in the corporate world. I want to encourage all of you to start thinking about who you are, really, what that means to you, and what you want to do with your natural talents in this world. Obviously, it's not my place to tell you what to do. That's what I want. I want to help you feel like, you know, you're allowed to take up more space, but you can do it in a way that feels comfortable to you and that has meaning for you and your personal and professional life if you have one or the other. And all empaths seem to have, like, you know, a personal life, unless something has gone terribly, terribly wrong. We are people persons by nature. We actually care about people. We want to listen to them tell their stories. We want to hold space for them and allow our presence to help them to heal themselves. For the most part, empaths are not rescuers, but we are healers. But the healing happens almost by a default of collaboration and emotional support. These days, there are some troubling trends that I've seen in the spiritual community that makes it seem as if supportive, collaborative, and loving relationships are not possible because everyone is supposed to play some sort of energetic role that is rooted in some sort of extreme, like the narcissist and empath dynamic. And yeah, we find ourselves in those dynamics sometimes often, but that is an extreme representation of emotional relationships. And the important thing for us is to develop our discernment and our understanding that intention is a magic that we can bring to our lives. We can intend to have healthy, balanced, supportive, and collaborative relationships, and then we can simply create them. At this stage in my life, I am only surrounded by empaths. It's very strange, but I realized that the other day. I was like, I'm happier than I've ever been. And I was thinking about my connections with people, and I started to realize, holy crap, everyone I'm connected to is an empath now. This was not always the case, actually. At one point, at the worst stage in my life, I was actually sandwiched between two narcissists, and one of them was a narcissistic psychopath. And I was like, oh my God, this is happening. So one thing that will help you really establish and understand your connections so you can get that big one thing that you need, a deeply connected relationship of any kind, romantic, friendship, you know, family, whatever, you need to really practice discernment and put on your empath glasses and start looking at the people in your life. Do they share your values? Are they collaborative? Do they operate in a spirit of love? Do they operate in a spirit of support? Are they crafting win-win situations? Are they mostly attention-seeking people who craft a specific image, who care more about appearances and less about how people actually function together? Those last couple things are not going to be satisfying for an empath. You want things to be congruent, honest, and clear and straightforward. All empaths want that. That's why we will sometimes chase people down to try to get clarity, because not knowing what the heck happened is not something that we are usually comfortable with. So when you are trying to get that one thing, great relationships, connections with other people, it becomes very important for us, for you, for me, if you care about this, that is. Because I'm not here to tell you your reality. In my opinion, discernment is the most important thing, because there is nothing more healing than a person, and there is nothing more destructive than a person. Nothing will ruin your life quite as effectively as the wrong relationship. I have suffered extremely in most of my romantic relationships. Thankfully, not all of them. And that's because I finally got in relationships with empathic people. They actually exist, believe it or not. And you start recognizing that when you stop dealing with fuck shit. What's fuck shit? You might be asking yourself. Fuck shit are crazy makers. People who seem to have a vested interest in misunderstanding you. They get triggered when you ask them for clarity. So if they are doing word salad, circular conversations, they're saying things that sound like they mean something, and so you question it to try to get more clarity because you actually want to understand them, because you're an empath and you want to understand other people sometimes at a molecular level, which is a little intense. You ask them questions and they get upset with you because you're not just simply parroting back what they said or nodding or giving a like or just agreeing with them. It seems like they get mad at you for trying to get clarity, and then you get punished for it somehow. I don't know if you've experienced that, but I definitely have. And there are certain signs that people are not going to collaborate with you. They were never going to collaborate with you. They will never give you that one thing. It's not a relationship for them. It's a battle of the wills, and you are supposed to submit. If this doesn't sound familiar to you at all and you've never experienced this in your life, I am so happy to hear that. Many of us have, though. And it is a very painful, grueling experience. And some of our brothers and sisters and our non-binary folks will get lost, and they will disconnect from humanity and people. They will give up, and they will go live somewhere in the fucking woods and never connect again. And it's hard on them because they're wired to connect. They don't like the state of events, but sometimes it gets to a point where it's so painful that if you reach one more time for the wrong person, you're afraid you might end up losing your actual mind and then your life. It does sound extreme. And it sounds like it might be rooted in black and white thinking. And sometimes it actually is. I mean, empathic people can get stuck in somewhat narcissistic, not narcissism, not like a disorder, but everyone has healthy narcissistic traits and then they have unhealthy narcissistic traits. So healthy narcissism, you know, the especially very powerful empaths who are really confident will have certain narcissistic traits, point blank, period. I don't actually like that they call this healthy narcissism. Eventually, I do hope that the verbiage, the lingo, whatever you want to call it, I hope that they refine the language more, because throwing words around in different contexts only serves to make things less clear rather than more meaningful. Healthy narcissism looks like having pride in your accomplishments, not allowing people to abuse you, simply removing yourself from bad situations, giving yourself closure. That's like considered healthy narcissism. And in my world, there's no such thing as healthy narcissism. But there are healthy self-love, you know, versus like what Sam Vaknin calls malignant self-love. Healthy self-love, healthy love. Love in general is the most healthy, wholesome, empowering, wonderful, wonderful experience that a human being can have. If it is not making your life better, if it's not making you better, if it's not giving you peace, it's not love. It might be something, but it's not love. And I'm sick and tired of people saying, but she loves me if she hits you. No, she doesn't. If she hits you, she doesn't love you. Could you hit someone that you love? I mean, there are times when people will wear each other down, and there have been times when people will act out of character, I guess, and like maybe slap each other on the arm, or maybe even people playfully punch each other in the arm. Roughhouse and sometimes physical displays of frustration, I suppose, can happen. What I mean is hitting in malice with the intention to hurt, with the intention to cause, you know, pain. That cannot coexist with actual love, because when you love someone, you never want to see them hurt. I don't know about y'all, but like if I see someone crying in front of me, I'm like, let me give you my house and my car. Please stop crying. or I'll just sit with them and listen, you know, because it's not my job to control other people's emotions. But there are times where I'm just like, oh my gosh, oh no, this poor person's crying. Because I can't stand seeing people in pain, but I don't want them to stop being in pain on my account. To be honest, I don't. Because if that is where they're at right now, then it's my duty and my privilege, rather, I would say, my honor, mostly, to be with them. sometimes I feel very drawn to people who are in pain, in the sense that I want to just sit there and show them that, you know, you're not going to be alone. This is not forever. This is temporary. Everything's temporary, but especially the bad times. They can't last forever. And there are people who might be in relationships with you who intend to make the bad times last for as long as possible. And the only respite you get are occasional good behavior to give you hope, to keep you hanging on. So that one thing, how do we do it? It really comes down to taking your time when you're getting to know other people to see if the actions and the words actually align. How willing are they to be clear, transparent, and have difficult conversations and actually say something, not seem to say something? Because there are some people who will throw some word salad at you and you think they said something, and then when you walk away, you actually try to put all the words together and glean the actual meaning so you can take the lesson, and you're like, wow, he or she said absolutely nothing. Language can be used to communicate and build bridges between people, but language can also be used as a mask. Language can be used to hide. Language can be used to build walls between us and others. I remember one time I had a very traumatic experience with a person who assaulted me. And I ended up running into this person about, I don't know, it might have been like 3 months afterwards. And when I saw him, I would not stop talking. I would not stop talking. I was like talking a wall between us. Until I could get away. And I was using all of those words to keep him away, to keep him out. And then afterwards, when I removed myself from the situation, I thought about what happened. I was like, wow, I would not shut up. I was just saying anything that came to my mind until I could get away from that situation. And it was a form of self-protection. So that leads me to understand that there are many different ways that people use language. And when people are communicating with you, they are serving a particular end, whether or not they realize it. Sometimes the end is just to release it and to vent it out and to make themselves feel better and to stop carrying that burden around. But other times there's an intention behind it, whether they realize it or not, to obscure truth, to obscure meaning, to put distance between. And when you really learn to listen and you learn to analyze when you are either in situations or afterwards, or when you're getting text or email, and you start applying critical thinking to every sentence that is in front of you and asking yourself, what does this mean? And what is the intention and what is the spirit behind this? And how can this be looked at in different ways? You start really realizing who's about that bullshit life and who is authentic. Are people being consistent with you? Are they collaborative? Are they supportive? Or do they push you to feel like you must and only have to rely on yourself because they are not going to be accountable, committed, consistent, clear. When you communicate with somebody about how they make you feel, does this situation actually get resolved, or do they placate you and the pattern continues? People lie. Patterns don't. The best predictor of future behavior is actually past behavior. Most people don't change. They learn to lie better, either to themselves or others or both. A person who is committed to their growth and committed to their progress and committed to actual change, they're going to leave very specific clues that that is the case. For starters, they're going to work at it pretty much daily. They're going to have professional help or actual accountability systems in check. They will continually take accountability. They will continually be transparent. They will be consistent. But bullshit artists and image creators will put one type of energy forward, but when you look at what's behind it, it's the same bullshit as the last five relationships they were in. They just learned to lie better. They just learned to hide better. And you can't get that one thing with those people, because they are not about relating. They're about crafting. They're about like networking and making it look like on paper that they're really important and that they know everyone else. But of everyone they know, who do they really understand? Who do they really connect with? Who really connects with them? Is everyone just getting a different perspective of the same mask? I intend that this made sense for someone other than just me. It makes total sense in my mind, but this was very free. I didn't take any notes. This just came to my mind. I'm about to go start my morning routine, and I wanted to get this off of my chest just to talk about it, just to start the conversation. We need to think truly when we enter into connections with others, no matter what types of relationships those are, and bring intention and observation, patience and skill to craft relationships. Relationships do not happen just at default. We create them. But if we don't remain present and intentional and connected to ourselves, we can't really connect to that other person. I mean, that one thing, we want it for a reason. Nothing will make you grow quite as quickly or thoroughly as a good relationship. A lot of people, they're out there glorifying these toxic relationships, saying that that's the catalyst to spiritual growth. Everything is a catalyst to spiritual growth if you're spiritually committed and you're empathic, okay? I get so fed up with the spiritual community and how it glorifies toxicity. That is so against genuine empathic values. It's repulsive to me. We grow further, faster in supportive, nurturing, and safe relationships because why? You're not spending all of your time, money, and energy in therapy or talking to your friends trying to ask them how to fix your fucking relationship. Yeah, I said that. If you are too busy enjoying your relationship, you're not going to have time to be trying to get out your magic eight ball and your magnifying glass to figure out what someone meant when they've had their 17th tantrum in your general direction and it's only Tuesday. Volatility and passion and connection are not the same thing. You can be very passionate about something that's actually good for you. You can celebrate someone else's wins. And if other people in your inner circle are not celebrating you, but rather putting you down or gossiping or just being kind of bitchy, and they seem happy when you don't succeed in your goals, that's not the one thing. These are just things that we have to think about because we're human beings and human beings are wired to connect. We want to. We want relationships. We all do. Empath and everyone else. It doesn't matter. But what's important is that we learn how to recognize who we can actually be in relationship with, because some people are not even in relationship with themselves. So they can't be there for you. So that's it for today. I intend you got some meaning out of this for you in your own way. Let my rambles unlock your truth or not. Hopefully you were entertained at the very least. I care about all of you, and I wish you well, and I can't wait to talk to you again. Please remember to follow. Bye.